ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीतम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो चैप्टर फोर द प्रोसेस ऑफ क्रिएशन टेक्स्ट 22 Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from Udhuni's heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. Please repeat after me. May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As we have already discussed herein before, the Lord, as the super soul of all living beings from Brahma to the insignificant ant, endows all with the required knowledge potent in every living being. A living being is sufficiently potent to possess knowledge from the Lord in the proportion of 64 or 70-80%. In the proportion of 50-64 or 78%. 78% of the full knowledge acquired. Since the living being is constitutionally part and parcel of the Lord, he is unable to assimilate all the knowledge that the Lord possesses himself. In the conditioned state, the living being is subject to forget everything after a change of body known as death. This potent knowledge is again inspired by the Lord from within the heart of every living being. And it is known as the awakening of knowledge, for it is comparable to awakening from sleep or unconsciousness. This awakening of knowledge is under the full control of the Lord, and therefore we find in the practical world different grades of knowledge in different persons. This awakening of knowledge is neither an automatic nor a material interaction. The supply source is the Lord Himself, Dhiyam Pati. For even Brahma is also subject to this regulation of the Supreme Creator. In the beginning of the creation, Brahma is born first without any father and mother, because before Brahma there were no other living beings. Brahma is born from the lotus which grows from the abdomen of Gautama Vishnu, And therefore he is known as Ajaya. Ajaya actually means unborn. This Brahma or Ajaya is also a living being, part and parcel of the Lord. But being the most pious devotee of the Lord, Brahma is inspired by the Lord to create, subsequent to the main creation of the Lord, through the agency of material nature. Therefore, neither the material nature nor Brahma is independent of the Lord. The material scientist can merely observe the reactions of the material nature without understanding the direction behind such activity. As a child can see the action of electricity without any knowledge of the powerhouse and genius. This imperfect knowledge of the material scientist is due to a poor fund of knowledge. The Vedic knowledge was therefore first impregnated within Brahma, and it appears that Brahma distributed the Vedic knowledge. Brahma is undoubtedly the speaker of the Vedic knowledge, but actually he was inspired by the Lord to receive such transcendental knowledge as it directly descends from the Lord. The Vedas are therefore called apaurushya, or not imparted by any created being. Before the creation, the Lord was there, Narayana Parabhakta. And therefore, the words spoken by the Lord are vibrations of transcendental sound. There is a gulf of difference between the two qualities of sound, namely prakrita and aprakrita. The physicist can deal only with the prakrita sound or sound vibration in material sky. Therefore, we must know that the Vedic sounds recorded in symbolic expression cannot be understood by anyone within the universe unless and until one is inspired by the vibration of supernatural or prakriti sound, which descends in the chain of disciplic succession from the Lord to Brahma, from Brahma to Narad, from Narad to Vyasa, and so on. No mundane scholar can translate or reveal the true import of the Vedic mantras, hymns. They cannot be understood unless one is inspired or initiated by the authorized spiritual master. The original spiritual master is the Lord himself, and the succession comes down through the sources of parampara, as clearly stated in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So unless one receives the transcendental knowledge from the authorized parampara, one should be considered useless, bifala mata, even though one may be greatly qualified in the mundane advancements of art or science. Sukadeva Goswami is praying from the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Parikshit Maharaj or Maharaj Parikshit. A spiritual master is not a theoretical speculator like the mundane scholar, but is Shrotriyam Brahmanishtham. This sentence, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtham, is one who is situated on the transcendental knowledge. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnanam Janashalakara Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Diyadena Sri Chaitanya Manotishtam Sthapitam Dhinu Sthale Swayam Rupa Padamaitam Dadati Svaparantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pandu Namasarati Dhinu Jatrita Tamasam Pandu Sri Chidam Dhinu Sthale. So, Sukada Goswami is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who first imparted the transcendental knowledge and revealed it in the heart of Brahma. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam also, there is this prayer
janmadasya jataha annayaditagatashyaste sabhidvashara
tene brahmavida adikavaye nehanti jatshiraya. Before he started to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that I offer my obeisances to the origin of everything, janmo adi asya, everything that has been created, everything that is manifested, the original personality, who actually had done that and who imparted this transcendental knowledge in the heart of Brahma. Tene brahmavida adi kavaye nehanti jatsura. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of everything, is the origin of everything, and it is only by His mercy that we are able to do anything. Everything is actually a result of His mercy. Although in the material nature we may think that we are doing this, or we are doing that, or we are thinking that we possess this or that, but this is the illusion. We cannot actually do anything. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasam ahankara bindhuratma kartaham iti manate. Being bewildered by ahankara, ahankara means false ego. And being deluded by our false ego, we think that we are the doer. Karta aham iti manate. Karta means the doer. Aham means I. Iti means that, manate means think. One thinks that he is the doer. But actually, everything is being done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either due to His direct influence or indirect influence. Actually, in the material nature, Krishna does not get directly involved. He controls this material nature through His indirect agency. And that indirect agency is the Mahamaya, the material nature, the personification, the personified material nature. So when, and in this material nature, there are gunas and karmas. There are three modes in the material nature, and the living entities have been endowed with the freedom to act. And as we act, the actions take place either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. And that action produces reaction. And this is how the living entity gets moving. And just like we see a toy, we wind the toy, and then the toy starts to move. Similarly, Krishna has, our material nature is winding up everyone with the guna and karma, the karmic reaction and the influence of the mode. And the living entity is acting like a puppet. He doesn't actually have any freedom, any independence to do anything. He is constantly being controlled. He may think that I am doing this, but actually, everything is a result of guna and karma. Therefore, in the beginning of the spiritual life, one must understand this very intricate arrangement of karma. In Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning we see Krishna is explaining the influence of karma and how to become free from the karmic reaction. Yogyarthat karmana anyatra lokoyam karma bandhu. That one must act for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yogyarthat karma. One must act for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, karma bandha. Otherwise, one becomes subject to the bondage of karma. Otherwise, one becomes bound or compelled by the law of karma. Loko ayam karma bandha. So this is how one must understand that everything is actually happening according to guna and karma. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. Sarvasa means everything, everyone. Whatever is happening, not a single action is actually done by ourselves. It's all by guna karma. Just like a car is moving, but a person sitting in the car thinks that he is moving. Or he is making the car move. He is just a passenger in the car. Also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Jantra Rudhani Mayaya. The living entities are traveling in this universe. Just like sitting on a vehicle. Jantra means a machine or a vehicle. So the living entities are traveling through the body, riding on the body. But are we moving the bodies? No. We are not moving the bodies. We are not doing anything with the bodies. It is the gunai karmani sarvasa. Now, if we think that we are the doer and if we act for our sense gratification, then we become bound further by the bondage of guna and karma. But if we offer everything to Krishna, the body, if we use this body for the sake of Krishna's service, that is called yajna or sacrifice. And then immediately we become free from the bondage of body. So, the living entities are under complete control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entity accepts that control by becoming surrendered to the law, then he becomes situated on the spiritual platform. But when he does not, then he becomes subject to the laws of material nature. But this material nature also is directed by Krishna, therefore everyone is either directly or indirectly being controlled by Krishna. So, here Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Krishna, actually imparted the original knowledge in the beginning, in the heart of God. First, the Lord gave the knowledge to them. How did Krishna write a book and give it to Brahma? No. How did Krishna reveal that knowledge to Brahma? Krishna just played his flute and Brahma heard. Or we can say Krishna let Brahma hear the sound of the flute. And the sound of the flute came to Brahma in the form of Gayatri Mantra. And Brahma started to meditate upon that mantra. And as Brahma meditated upon the mantra, this knowledge, the Vedic knowledge, revealed in his heart. That's why this transcendental knowledge, or Brahma Gyan, was revealed in the heart of Adi Kavaye, Adi Kavi, the original wise person, Brahma. So, this is the process of receiving transcendental knowledge. The transcendental knowledge cannot be received by any material means. The transcendental knowledge is received by a pure spiritual means. And that spiritual means is receiving the knowledge from a qualified person.
person, some qualified teacher.
Now, in order to receive the knowledge, we have to become qualified ourselves also. Just the teacher's qualification is not enough. We also have to become qualified students. And what's the qualification of a student? The qualification of a student is that he is surrendered to the spiritual master and he tries to please the spiritual master by different means, mainly by rendering service unto him. Sadbiddhi pramipatena padiprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnanina sattva-darshana. So that is the process. Sadbiddhi pramipatena. One must approach the spiritual master in a very humble state of mind. Pranipat means offering obeisance. What is the meaning of obeisance? What does obeisance signify? Obeisance is actually expression of surrender, falling down at his feet. So the lowest part of the body is the feet, and you are offering yourself there. That means you are offering yourself to his feet. That is completely you are offering yourself to him. So that is the meaning of surrender, meaning of obeisance. So obeisance is not just a physical exercise, but it's actually an expression of offering oneself. So when one approaches a spiritual master, that offering, the surrender, must be there. So upadekshanti take pranipatena padiprasnena. Then one must sincerely inquire something. And sevaya, one must render service unto him. Then only upadekshanti take jnanam. Then only the spiritual master will impart the knowledge unto him. Now the question arises, doesn't the spiritual master otherwise impart the knowledge? Yes, spiritual master does, but the disciple, the candidate, cannot actually benefit from that knowledge because he himself is not qualified. Only when one becomes qualified can one receive this transcendental knowledge. And jnanina sattva-darshana, the spiritual master can impart the knowledge because he has seen the truth. Now the question is, what is the qualification of a spiritual master? Can anyone and everyone become a spiritual master? No. The instruction has been given, shabde parecha nishnata. The spiritual master must be situated in transcendental knowledge. Shabde means sound vibration. Transcendental vibration. You know, shabde means sound vibration. Pare means transcendental. Nishnatam. Nishnatam means inundated, submerged, steeped. The person who is steeped in transcendental knowledge, he is the he can be a spiritual master. And Prabhupada is mentioning here also, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtham. It's the same meaning. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtham. Nishtham means fixed up. And Shrotriyam Brahma means transcendental sound vibration, transcendental knowledge. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, the Jai Krishna Tattva Betta, Shai Guru. The person who knows Krishna in truth, in reality, he can become
Anduri.
And then Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami explained further this point. What is the qualification of a spiritual master? He says, Vacha Vega Manasha, Krodha Vega, Jyubha Vega, Udara Upastha Vegan, Etan Vegan Jabishaheta Jira, Sarvamati Ma, Prithivinsha Shishya. The Vacha Vega, the person who can control the urge of his speech, the urge to talk. That means the tongue has the tendency to talk. But a spiritualist must be able to control his tongue. And how does one control his tongue? By holding it tight? No. One controls his tongue by talking about Krishna. Vacha Vega, Manasa Vega controls the urges of the mind. The urges of the mind is to think. But how does a spiritualist control his mind? By thinking about Krishna. Vacha Vega, Manasa Vega, Krodha Vega, the urge of anger. How does one control the urge of anger? By using it towards non-devotees. Krodha Vega, Jubha Vega, the urge of tongue. And the urge of tongue is controlled by taking only Krishna Prasad, Jubha Vegan, Udara Vegan, and the urge of belly and urge of Upastha Vegan, urge of genitals. So in this way, a person who has been able to control these six urges of the senses can accept can accept the whole world as his subject of student. Prithivimati Maushisha. So it is not that only the disciple has to be qualified, but the spiritual master also has to be qualified. And the qualification, the greatest qualification of a spiritual master is that he is a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the qualification of a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one is a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, he can never become a spiritual master. To be a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master means his spiritual master also is a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. So in this way, it goes back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what is called the disciple succession or parampara. The disciple acquires the knowledge from the spiritual master, and in turn, the disciple offers it, imparts it to his disciple. A disciple in due course of time becomes a spiritual master and imparts the knowledge unto his disciples. Then his disciples in due course of time become spiritual masters and then imparts this knowledge unto their disciples. So in this way, this transcendental knowledge is flowing since time immemorial. So, unless and until one receives this knowledge from a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot understand the import of the Vedic wisdom or Vedic literature. The Vedas are there, apparently the Vedas are in symbolic expression. But there has to be a person who will decipher the symbols. Otherwise, if a layman, even in a mundane knowledge, you can see, if a person, no matter how educated he is, if he opens up a book of chemistry, what he'll see? he will see expressions like H2SO4 and so on and so forth. So when he sees H2SO4, can he make out anything? If a layman sees. But then when somebody explains to him what is this H2SO4, then he understands that this H2SO4 actually means sulfuric acid. Or so in this way, these are the symbolic expressions. Even in mundane science, this knowledge is actually expressed in symbolic expression. C6H12O6. What it is? Can a layman understand?
Do you know what I mean?
No. C6H12O6.
Sugar.
Sugar. Now, if a layman sees in a book of chemistry, they won't write sugar. They'll say C6H12O6. So similarly, in the Vedas, the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been presented in such symbolic expressions. Therefore, unless and until one learns the science under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, cannot possibly understand what's the matter, what's the knowledge that has been given in the Vedas. They'll get completely confused. We can see that even in the material platform, one cannot actually learn the material, advanced material science without the direction and guidance of a teacher. But when one studies it under a bona fide teacher, then the knowledge becomes very easily acquirable. So similarly, the Vedic knowledge cannot be understood unless and until one approaches to a bona fide spiritual master. And we can also consider that at least the material object or the material nature can be perceived with our senses. And even then we cannot actually study the material subject without the help of a teacher. So what to speak of the spiritual knowledge which is beyond our sense perception? Can one see the spiritual nature which is material eyes?
Never.
Can one hear the spiritual sound which is material ears? Can he touch the spiritual nature which is material hand?
Never.
That's why the spiritual nature is called adhokshaja, or beyond our sense perception. Akshaja means sense perception. And adho akshaja means beyond our sense perception. So the nature that is beyond our sense perception, how can we possibly perceive that nature? How can we possibly understand that nature? But the bona fide spiritual master who has the knowledge can impart the knowledge in our heart, not in our senses, not in our mind, not in our intelligence, but in our heart. Tene brahma rida. Rida, ridai means? Ridai means?
Heart.
Tomaro ridai sada govinda vishwa. Tene brahma rida. In the heart. The divya gyan ride prakashito. This transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. So the spiritual master reveals the heart, reveals the knowledge in the heart of his disciple. So in this way, the transcendental knowledge is flowing. It is not that after one gets initiated or one is taught, instructed by a spiritual master, all of a sudden he starts to see all kinds of things.
No.
This knowledge is not revealed in the material senses. This knowledge is revealed in our spiritual senses. And where is the spiritual situated? Where is the spiritual situated?
In the heart.
Therefore, this knowledge actually reveals in the heart. Because if this knowledge is revealed to the spirit soul, not to this body and the senses of this body. It is revealed to the spirit soul. And spirit soul is situated in the heart. That's why it is said that the knowledge is actually revealed in the heart. So here, Sukadeva Goswami, very eloquently glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and begging for His mercy, that by His mercy He can reveal this knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj. How this world was created, how this material nature was created. It's a very complicated subject. Who is the cause of creation? The cause of creation, as it has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we read further, we will see that this creation actually became manifested from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. We can go even further beyond. It's actually the cause of this creation is Karanodakshaya Vishnu. Vishnu, Mahavishnu or Karanodakshaya Vishnu lies on the causal ocean. Karana means
cause.
Sarva Karana Karana. Karana Udak means Udak
means water.
So there's an ocean called causal ocean. It is not just an ocean of water. But it is actually ocean of cause. Cause is a substance, and there is an ocean which is full of cause. Just like the ocean of water is a reservoir of water. Similarly, there is a reservoir of cause. So in that causal ocean, Karanodakshaya Vishnu lies down. And as he breathes on the causal ocean, his breathing creates the bubbles. And actually, the Lord breathes through his, not only through his nostrils and mouth, he breathes through every single pore of his body. Actually, we also breathe through our pores of the skin. So, and each breathing creates innumerable bubbles in the causal ocean. And each bubble is an universe. As Mahavishnu breathes in the causal ocean, these bubbles are actually the universe. Then Mahavishnu enters into each universe as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And then what does he do? When he enters into the bubble or in the universe, which is a hollow space, he produces water from his body. Just like we sweat from the body, the water comes out of the pores of our body. The Lord produces water from his body and fills up half of that space, half of the universe, with the water of Garbhodak. And then he lies down on that water. And when he lies down, it's not that only he lies down alone. Wherever the Lord is, his associates are also there. So, Ananta Shesh actually makes a bed for the Lord. Ananta Shesh is an expansion of Shankarshan, an expansion of Balaram. And here he becomes a huge snake. And he makes a bed for the Lord. And Lakshmi Devi worships him, and all his associates are also there. And from the navel of the Lord sprouts one, springs forth one lotus. And Brahma is situated on that lotus. He came directly from the navel of the Lord. So Brahma, the first created being, came directly from the Lord. Therefore he is called Aja or Svayambhu. Svayambhu means one who became born, or one who appeared by himself. Aja means one who is unborn. So this is how Brahma is the first created being. And Brahma actually engineered the universe. And the same of the lotus is different universe. I mean, the different planets in the universe. And what is the geography of an universe? There are 14 planetary systems in one universe. Every universe has this structure. Just like every man has a certain number of bones in his vertebral column, is the same, the number in every human being, the number of what is called the disc in the vertebra is in the spinal cord. No, it's the vertebral column. The spinal cord runs to the vertebral column. So there are there's a specific number of discs in every body. There are specific number of bones in every human being. He may be from America or Africa or India or China. It's the same structure. The bone internal structure is the same. Similarly, the universe, all universes have 14 planetary systems. Some universes are very big, some universes are not so big. Like, according to the size of the universe, the Brahma has the number of heads. The universe that we are in is the smallest universe, actually. Because here the Brahma has only 4 heads. Then there are universes where Brahma has 16 heads. Some universes Brahma has 64 heads. And some universes Brahma has thousands of heads, millions of heads. So we can well imagine how big those universes are. But in all the universes there are 14 planetary systems. 7 higher and 7 lower. The higher planetary systems are we are actually in the middle planetary system known as Bhulloka. Then above Bhulloka is Bhuvalloka. Then above Bhuvalloka is Swarloka. Then above Sarloka is Mahaloka, then Janaloka, then Tapaloka, then Sattaloka. And Brahma resides in Sattaloka. He is in the topmost planet. So in the beginning, and the 7 lower planetary systems are Tal, Atal, Sutal, Vital, Rashatal, Mahatal, Patal. So these are the 7 lower planetary systems. So in this way, in every universe there are 14 planetary system. So in every universe there is a Brahma. And this Brahma comes out from the navel of Garbhagriha Vishnu. And this Brahma actually engineers the universe. And how does he do that? In the beginning Brahma also was in ignorance. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know who he was, where he came from, what he was supposed to do. He was simply confused. So when one is confused, he begins to wonder what he should do. He becomes very, very restless. So Brahma started to climb down the lotus stem. He thought that if he reached the bottom of the lotus stem, then he would find out where he came from. So he climbed down the stem, but although he climbed for thousands of years, but still he couldn't reach the bottom. Then he became afraid. Then he climbed up again. and sat on the lotus. And at that time the Lord instructed him from within and asked him to meditate. So Brahma started to perform austerities. Austerity means withdrawing the senses from external nature. So Brahma withdrew his senses from the external nature and projected internally. Then he, in the heart of his heart, he could see the Lord lying on the Gulf of Ocean. And then Krishna, playing the flute, gave him the Gayatri Mantra, and thus the spiritual knowledge was revealed in the heart of Brahma. So this is how Brahma received the knowledge from Krishna, and then Brahma, and this is how Brahma started to create. The creation also is very interesting. Brahma realized that he is actually supposed to engineer the creation. So he felt that he can't do it alone, so he needed some help. So he produced four sons from his mind. And they are the four Kumaras, the four little children. They are about 5 years old. And although they are five, they look like 5 year old children, but they are actually one of the wisest people. Right from their appearance in this world, they were self-realized souls. So when Brahma asked them, please help me in this creation, then they, with folded hands, they told Brahma to excuse them. They said, we are not going to get involved in this activity. This material activity is a simple waste of time. So we don't want to get entangled. And this material nature is very dangerous. So Brahma became very angry that these are my sons, but they are not listening to my command. They are not listening to my instruction. But then immediately after that, Brahma felt that after all, they are my children.